Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What True Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to What True Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I live in the Bay Area with my family. I obviously am a writer and my debut came out this year back in July. I'm a huge lover of romance. I love to read romance. I love to watch romance. I love rom-coms. I love to go hiking. I love to go out to eat. My social schedule pretty much circles around like where to go out to eat, what we're having for dinner, that kind of thing. Yeah, I guess I'm like a foodie in the most simple sense. I can't think of anything else super interesting, but those are the main points. If you need to know about me, those are the things that you need to know about me.
All right. So favorite food that you gravitate towards, you know, comfort, and then favorite one you like to try it, but it's a special occasion kind of deal.
I love Korean food. My husband is Korean and my mother-in-law is like an incredible cook. I'm a little spoiled because I get the best Korean food possible. So I'd say that's one of my comfort foods. And I always just love a boxed macaroni and cheese. That's a good go-to comfort food. If I really just need to curl up in blankets and watch a movie with my mac and cheese, that's a really good day. And then, gosh, I love going out. I love dim sum restaurants, going to dim sum restaurants with my family. There are some really nice ones in the Bay Area. Sometimes we'll like check those out. Gosh, I don't know. I'm up for anything almost.
I love this. Yeah, I used to live in New York, so I had like the best food. I was totally
spoiled. Oh, yeah.
And then I'm Chicago. I live in Chicago but it was pandemic time. So I mostly was Sean and all things were takeout. And so Chicago was like, it was okay. But then I moved to Tampa and the food is like, the food scene is not as good as the other.
Oh, no.
But it's pushing me to be a home cook. So it's pushing me to cook and do dupes and trying to figure out like palate. But I was not a home cook while I was in New York. I was like, no.
Oh, yeah. The food I'm sure. I feel like a lot of people aren't, right? Because you just have everything at your fingertips.
Yeah. You're just like, it's up there. Like, you can have that. I love Latin Chinese food. It's actually one of those like fusion that they have. I love like a little bit of like Dominican food or like Chinese, Korean, and it had everything. So I understand. Totally. And I think you're in the good area where there's plenty of food. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, we're a little spoiled because the city has a really good food scene, but also in the suburbs, especially for Korean food, if you go south towards San Jose, I don't know how familiar you are with the Bay Area, but you go south towards San Jose, there are so many just really delicious Korean food restaurants down there. And they look very unassuming.
Yeah.
But then you sit down and it's the same in New York, right? Like the hole in the wall places are sometimes the very best. Yeah. They just have so many good restaurants down there.
Yes.
Very spoiled.
That's exciting. So let's talk about your writing. What led you to start writing? Were you always a writer or just something in your life? You're like, I'm going to give this a try.
Yeah, I was always a writer. And know that I would have labeled myself that for a long time. I didn't. But I, first of all, was a voracious reader. I loved reading basically from the moment I could do it. And started writing stories when I was little. I have a story that I wrote when I was 8, it's called The Horse. It's like about a girl with a horse. And I illustrated it too. So I started that practice really young and wrote pretty consistently like over the years into my teen years. And I was writing like obviously YA stuff. And then when I became an adult, I wrote fan fiction for a little bit, Twilight fan fiction back in the day, really back in the day. And then just did it for myself for a while.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think I just decided, and it was during the pandemic, I was like, I've done all this writing for myself. I've done fan fiction, which does, you know, there is a writer-reader interaction there. And I just wanted to see if I could get published, like if that was something that was in the cards for me. And I did have that thought in 2020, like anything could happen. Like we're in the middle of a pandemic. It's totally unprecedented. And I think I was so aware at that time of like how fragile life is and how you can wait and wait. But why? Like, why not just go for it? So yeah, so I was always a writer, but I think the thought of publishing didn't truly come to me until a few years ago.
That's okay. And I think that's like the part of the journey. It helps you, you hone the craft, you find yep. your voice and find, and there's the freedom of not having to, that it needs to be published or it needs to be written for market. Yep. It needs to be read. It's like writing for you and trusting mm-hmm. that what you're writing is going to resonate with someone.
Yeah, exactly.
The reader is going to be found. It's just, mm-hmm. you're going to find your lookalikes and there's a line that, and yeah, the pandemic brought us so many greatest hits.
I know, right?
Like, yeah. I think there was something to be said about the shutdown and the idea of the panic and the uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And it's, you might as well just do it.
Totally. Yeah. Honestly, I feel like a lot of people had that thought of just with so much uncertainty and so much really heartache and tragedy and stuff like that. I think a lot of people had these moments where they were just like reevaluating their entire lives, which it's so interesting to see the outcome of that, not just with myself, but with so many other people deciding to go after things that maybe they had been sitting on before. I think out of all of the bad things that have happened during the pandemic, that feels like a silver lining moment for a lot of people.
Yeah, this is exciting. So I'll start about you with a view. What is the elevator pitch?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So it's about a woman grieving the loss of her grandmother, and she finds a stack of old pictures and a letter. And the pictures show her and a very handsome man from back in the day. The letter talks about a broken engagement, and Noelle, who's the main character, decides she wants to learn her grandma's secret, basically. And so she takes to TikTok, as people do, to try to find the mystery man. Her video ends up going viral, and she does find the mystery man named Paul, whose grandson happens to be her old high school rival, Theo Spencer. So the story kind of unravels from there. They end up on a road trip, and things happen from there.
I love this. Did you write this during a pandemic, or was it...
I wrote it in 2021, the summer of 2021. So yeah, like,
so, like, obviously, so like, yeah, work. They were happening, but they were not really,
yeah,
they were like a nostalgia, what I'm trying
totally.
To
totally, you know? It's so interesting, because if you look at the books that are coming out this year, there have been a lot of travel books, road trip books, and it is a time capsule a little bit of people being like, God, I'm stuck in my house, and I wish that I could go to these further flung places and travel. And I think in the moment, I don't think I realized what I was doing, but afterwards I'm like, wow, yeah, I was really, that was a wish fulfillment thing, because I would loved to be out somewhere other than my house.
Yeah. And this book originally was named Tell Me Secrets. So talk to us about that story. Like, why, what was the original name? Because there's a story behind it.
Yeah, there is. In the book, Noelle and her grandmother used to play this game called Tell Me a Secret. And it was basically just a way for them to tell each other things that were going on in their lives. Noelle would talk to her when she was younger about boys and school. And then as she got older, it was more about the trials and tribulations of being an adult, being someone in their 20s who was struggling with finding success. She was a super high achiever in high school and feels like she peaked in high school, basically, because she's not thriving. She got laid off from her job, whatever. The game was born of those sort of exchanges between them where, you know, they just told each other about their lives. And her grandma did the same with her. And in the book, that plays in very importantly into why Noelle wants to find out who this mystery man is, because She's looking at the pictures and she's, my grandma never told me about this time in her life. She was married to Noelle's grandpa for 60 some years. Like, it was her only marriage, love of her life, that kind of thing. And so Noelle had never heard of this other man or the fact that her grandma had been engaged. And so she's, we played this Tell Me a Secret game for years. This was our thing. And yet I've never heard this story. So that sort of was the catalyst for her to track Paul down, find out the story. And along the way, it turns into a game that she and Theo play. And it was such an interesting device for me to use as a writer. They have the rivals to lovers vibe still in the present day. And so their initial vibe was like adversarial. And Tell Me a Secret was a really cool way for me to allow them to tell each other things, to be more emotionally vulnerable, to be open with each other under this guise of, we're just playing a game. And yeah. And eventually, of course, it wasn't them telling each other secrets. It was just them telling each other the truth about their lives and stuff. And as I was drafting it, I was like, that's like a cool title for a book. And we did end up changing it once I signed with Berkeley. And I love You With a View. It's such a great title. But it's like a cute little piece of trivia that it used to be called Tell Me a Secret.
I love this. I love like when we find out we have been this, but at the same time, you still get the secret sauce from that title. Mm-hmm. You still get it in the book. It's just packaged differently.
You know? Exactly. Yeah.
So chat some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Okay, Sweeten the Deal by Katie Shepherd. And it's a reverse sugar daddy, sugar baby situation, because the sugar daddy is Caroline, who is a 20-something woman struggling to find her place in the world. She's very successful professionally and academically, but from a social perspective, hasn't found her place, and dating as well. And so she ends up acquiring a sugar baby who is a man named Adrian. He's older than her. He's a struggling artist. And the arrangement is so interesting because it feels like a modern day Pretty Woman, but reversed a little bit, which is so cool. And I loved the concept of it. But Katie's writing is just so beautiful. And there's something so knowing about the way that she writes, where you're just allowed to sink into the story because you know that she is so capable of unraveling it in a really beautiful and interesting and ultimately like safe way. And I remember I read it months ago, but I remember as I was reading it, I couldn't turn the pages fast enough, but I also didn't want to read it too quickly because it was just such an immersive experience. So I love that book. It comes out in a couple weeks. I highly recommend it to anybody who's looking for just like a beautiful, funny romance between two people who are very real and very flawed, but ultimately end up falling in love with each other, which as romance readers, that's what we want, right? The ultimate get. That's one. And then there is my friend Eliza McLean. So she writes holiday novellas. Mm-hmm. And she has a Halloween novella coming out on 10/10, which is next week, next Tuesday. And it's set in a haunted house with a very active ghost. So it's like very seasonally appropriate. But it's also just this really beautiful story about two people who have their own sort of separate fears. I think it's interesting because thematically, it reminds me of the monsters that we're afraid of, the things that go bump in the night, but those things are really like our emotional wounds versus actual monsters in the closet. And she handles emotions and character wounds with such care and tenderness. And it just feels, I don't know, there's something just so life-affirming about Eliza's writing and the way that she tells a love story, and also the way that she tells an individual story with the two main characters, their sort of individual character arcs and how they come together. It's also very sexy. It is a novella, shorter in length, but it feels so as a story, it feels so robust and so full circle that you wouldn't even know that it was a novella. And I love novellas personally, but I know sometimes people can be like, I don't know if I love novellas. It reads like a dream. So I highly recommend that one. And then I always recommend this one, but it's one of my favorites of all time, The Art of Scandal by Regina Black, which came out in August. It was her debut. And it's about a woman who is married to a congressman. And basically it opens with us finding out that he's been cheating on her. And he pays her to stay with him while he's pursuing his sort of latest congressional race. And meanwhile, she meets a man named Nate, who is an artist. And just the unfolding of the plot it's so masterful. Regina's writing is incredible. I feel when I'm reading her work, I'm learning something as a writer. And I'm also just like losing myself as a reader, because I fall into her stories. They remind me so much of classic romance stories, where you get like this smart dialogue and you get drama, because there is a lot of drama ensconced within the story. The stakes are super high. It really feels, as you're reading it, you don't know if Rachel and Nate will end up together. You're like, because Regina builds the story so expertly that everything feels so tangled. You're like, how are they going to entangle themselves from this? But she does it, and she does it so well that by the time you get to the last page, you're just, oh my God, I can't believe, like, I don't know how she did that. But it's such a ride. And again, just like beautiful writing. It's sexy. It's so smart. The just like from a line level, like her sentences, I highlighted probably 80% of that book in my Kindle. I was just like, this line and this line. So yeah, I love her book. And I think she is brilliant. She has another one coming out in 2025. And I cannot wait. I'm going to be shaking her down, hopefully, for an early read of that one. I'm crossing my fingers. And then finally, there is another novella, and this one is erotica. It's called Breaking Boundaries. It's by Gemma Blythe, and it's about a couple who go on vacation with their best friends, who are also a couple, and Bex, who is the main character in book one, discovers that she has a crush on her best friend, Darcy, and things happen, things unfold from there. It's a really, I think, beautiful and realistic portrayal of polyamory, and also just how marriages evolve and how relationships evolve, how friendships can evolve, and how you communicate through that, and just the conversations that are had throughout the novella about consent and about boundaries and boundaries within relationships. And it feels like such a safe place for those explorations to happen. And Gemma is she's such an expert at exploring those themes. And obviously it's very sexy. So if you're into that part of it, like that, you've got that covered. But it's just such a smart read too. And I think it dives really deeply into just relationships and that aspect of life. So that would be a high recommendation for me too.
Yeah, adding that one to my TBR immediately.
Yes. Oh my God. Please let me know what you think, because I just love it so much.
Oh, for sure. So Jessica, tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me on Instagram. I am Jessica Joyce Writes, all one word. I'm on Threads, same username. I have a website, which is jessicajoycebooks.com. I'm not really on Twitter anymore, because RIP, but I'm contactable mostly through Instagram. I'm always checking my DMs, or I do have email capabilities on my website where you can contact me there. So
awesome. Thank you, Jessica, for being on the show.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening, and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.